Now we turn to fields far from the ones we know, where a great hammer strikes down upon a blade forged from the heart of a dying star. The reverberations of the great blow echo through the billion worlds, cut into a thousand roaring screams along the keen edge of the weapon. Their voices cry out in unison, and the word sounded throughout the universe is... Doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode one of Doomed Prophecy. My name is Jaden, and I'm here with Brett.
You're having way too much fun with that intro.
I am, and I'm going to do it every week.
I'm not even mad.
No, it's going to be so much fun. So welcome, everybody, to the inaugural episode of Line of Sight's Marvel Crisis Protocol podcast. We are going to, you know what? I feel like doing things slightly differently than we've been doing them. So, Brett, what are you painting lately for MCP?
MCP?
Yeah.
Oh, so I finished painting everything I owned. So I just commissioned a bunch of gender bent sculpts. I got Lady Loki, I got Captain Carver, I got...
Oh, that's right.
Kate Bishop. Mm-hmm. I guess Quake is the... She was apparently a leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. at one point.
Sure. No idea, but sure.
Good enough for me.
Yep. Nice. So do you have those already, or is that what you're going to be painting soon?
That's what I'm going to be painting soon. Nice. I just finished Heimdall, and I did the MCU Rainbow Bridge. Mm-hmm. So I basically did the rainbow, and then I dry brushed white on top of it. I think it came out pretty cool.
Yeah, it did. I'm sure there will be pictures of that somewhere on our website soon. I'm excited to get that model. I don't have it yet. I'm waiting for Malekith and the Red Guard so that I can get free shipping, because I was missing just those two and wasn't enough for free shipping anymore. And I was like, ah, man. Yeah.
Highly recommend doing Heimdall in a lot of parts.
yes, I will be sub-building Heimdall.
Yeah.
And I might actually record a video on how to do his Rainbow Bridge, because I think there's a lot of fun things you can do with it.
Yeah, I just alternated. So, like, I did red, count seven stripes, red.
Mm.
Actually, six stripes, because indigo isn't a real color.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Hope you're rolling over in your grave, Isaac Newton.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah, those models are sick, and I'm very excited to paint them. I'm painting Juggernaut. Literally, I'm painting Juggernaut right now. And
yeah, we peer pressured you into that.
It's true. So I have a friend coming over to play Marvel Crisis Protocol with me. It's his second game. Last time he played was a few months back, and he played Brotherhood of Mutants, and he wants to continue playing Brotherhood of Mutants, and Juggernaut is dope. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I had most of them painted already for a reason. They're a cool affiliation.
I think, yeah, they're... Okay, Avengers are my favorite right now, but Brotherhood was my
first love.
Favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fair.
There's nothing quite like going up to T.O. and saying, hey, I threw every piece of terrain on the table. Can you fix this?
That is an incredible feeling, I'm sure. Nice.
You just sigh.
Yeah. No, I can just imagine like doing that to Tyson at LVO, and he'd just be like, no, you fix it.
Yeah, several of them figured that out, and I didn't appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah. All right. First of all, let's do a little introduction. We're probably not going to do this every week. I'm Jaden. I've been playing Marvel Crisis Protocol for a year and a half, 2 years almost. I've painted most of the models in the line. I've played a ton of the game on Tabletop Simulator. And I mean, here's the thing. I loved Black Order pre-update, and now I think I like Dark Dimension the best. But I just have a problem where I want to play like an 8-threat character, and nothing seems to be curing me of that, so get ready for some Malekith, because I will be playing him.
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to be so awesome.
Yep. Brett?
I'm Brett. I've been playing Marvel since I moved to Austin just under a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I bought in for Web Warriors.
I thought you bought it for Defenders.
No, so...
Oh, that's right. You bought it for Web Warriors. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, because I loved Into the Spider-Verse, and so I got Miles and Gwen. Mm. And then I the Venom that something bad happened to Peter Parker. And then I played Web Warriors for a while, and then I had fun with Brotherhood. And then I'm like, you know what? I want to try some jank. And so I did Steve Rogers and Cable and Hood. And I'm like, all right, this is some fun jank. And then it won. I'm like, well, that's weird.
Right.
And so, and that kept happening. So I'm like, there's got to be something here.
Mm-hmm. And this was pre-update even, right?
No.
No, this is post-update? Okay.
Yeah, the Defenders thing was pre-update.
Right.
So that segues nicely into why we're called Doom Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a habit of buying models and then getting them nerfed the week after I put them on the table.
He's not lying. And this is like game system agnostic. It just happens.
It's especially bad in MCP. So in MCP, they announced the update and I poured over it and I'm like, okay, I figured it out. I've got it. Mm-hmm. None of the models and defenders are being touched. This portal card is really fun. I really like how they're playing. I think Hulk's going to be awesome. And so I put in a ton of practice. I bought all the defenders. Defenders are like all one character per box, throw away the rest. And I played them a ton. And then the update dropped and they're like, oh, and by the way, we nerfed their only card.
Yep, that happened.
So then I switched to Sam. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, wow, this Bob thing is really crazy. Where you can you can kill your own character and
get free moves and heals and stuff.
Get a free you get the leadership off of it. It's awesome. So I bought the Deadpool box. I would like to register right now that I hate Deadpool with the white hot intensity of 1,000 suns.
This is true.
And his box is like $1,000,000.
I don't know, so man. You buy some cool terrain and you get some models alongside it. That's how that's supposed to work. I'm pretty sure.
I think so. So yeah, so I get Bob assembled, I get him painted, I play him a couple times, he's pretty great, and they change the leadership to not work with Bob. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So fast forward another couple of years, or not a couple of years, another couple of months, and they print First of the Black Order, which is a really cool ability. I'm like, I got it, I'm playing Black Order, you can do mono Black Order, it's really cool, you can play Corvus at the points where you can't play the Thanos leadership, yeah, it's all going to work out great.
So unfortunately I decided not to paint Black Dwarf. But yeah, I played it for 2 weeks, and then the reality space got restricted, and it's like, really? Which hurts First of the Black Order way more than Thanos.
Yes.
So,
yeah, it's impressive.
I'm not 3 for 3. They still have nerfed Brotherhood.
That's true. I don't know. It's still incredible to me that you've been playing for less than a year and you've managed to hit almost every single major nerf. The not many nerfs, mind you, that they've put out in the game.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's cool.
And so, yeah, so listeners, listen at your own risk.
Yeah, maybe do as I do and not as Brett does, because Brett tends to get his stuff nerfed real bad.
Yeah, well, I like the broken stuff, and I'm not saying that none of these things should have been nerfed. The First of Black Order one wasn't necessary. They're fine.
No, I concur.
But like the Defenders one was probably necessary. The Sam one was fine.
Yeah,
but, Just be cautious.
Understand that if Brett likes something, the chances of it getting nerfed are significantly higher than if many other people like something else.
Yes. Well, and yeah, I mean, I don't even begrudge them. Like, anything I like in any game, like you were saying, should probably be nerfed.
Probably. So, that's who we are.
Speaking of.
Yeah, well, we're not quite going to jump into that just yet, but okay. There is a lot of news. Because there Atomic is. Mass Games is doing a lot of things. So, when this cast goes live, which should be on, double-checking, August 5th. Well, that'll be interesting. I'm going to be out of town for that. I'll have to remote make that go. when this cataclysm is out, August 5th, we will be 1 week out from pretty much all of Redguard being released and Malekith being released. Mm-hmm. So those two are going to be huge. Also, by the time this goes live, there should be a Malekith overview on our website, which is lineofsightwargaming.com. I am still not used to saying that yet. It will take me a while.
We're going to get it wrong.
Yeah, we are.
Is that one of Phil's?
That is. No, actually, it's Peyton's.
Peyton's.
So, yeah. And you're going to get to meet Peyton, and you're going to get to meet Phil. They'll be coming on to, you know, be guest artists, guest producers, guest hosts, something, on podcasts for some number of episodes throughout the next little while. But excellent player. He's got some really good insights on Malekith, so go check that out. Other news about Marvel Crisis Protocol. Was that it, or is there more stuff that I'm forgetting?
They showed the Shield and Hydro stuff at May Extravaganza, and I believe the release date is September, like the second week of September, like September 9th.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, we're going to get a whole bunch of Shield stuff in September and Hydra things as well. And September 9th is new information to me, although I totally believe you. I typically don't believe things until Discount Games Inc. updates a specific date.
Okay, I got this from the Asmodee pre-order.
Oh yeah, then you're probably fine. We are well past 2021 slippage. Oh man, you weren't even playing for that, were you?
Nope.
Oh dude, you missed the most incredible. You know that Bob box, that Deadpool box that you like begrudgingly bought? I ended up waiting like an extra 4 months for it. I was very excited for it, and then by the time it got here, I wasn't anymore. Anyway, so that's the news. There's more things, you know, coming all the time. We know Sentinels are coming at some point, probably by the end of the year. We don't know exactly when. We know that there's going to be, you know, quite a bit of new stuff that they still haven't given us exacts about, which is great because that means that there's more to talk about soon. Excellent. Before we dive in, we should probably go over our goal for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you have listened to anything we've done before, mm-hmm. our main focus is trying to talk about the game from an analytical stance in a way that both new players and experienced players can benefit from.
So. And you know, there's a freaking fine line right there, because if we're too jargony and too fast, the new players get lost, and if we're not, then experienced players get bored. So if you have feedback, we would love to hear it. We're going to do our best to pause and explain why things are good or why things are bad or why we have certain opinions, in as layman terms as possible, but also get through them quickly so that veteran players who already understand what we're talking about don't have to like turn off the podcast. It's a fine line to walk.
Yeah. And I'm going to try and define a lot of that jargon in my first couple articles. So I have one on the scenario nicknames, which is going to be important because I never remember the full names because they're really long, and one on like types of attacks and what we mean by builder versus spender versus gainer and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yes, good stuff. And that will also be on our website and probably will be live by the time that this is public.
The attack one's gonna be the week after.
Okay, attack one will be shortly after this one's public. But yeah, so that's us, and we're excited to be here. It's really fun to talk about Marvel Crisis Protocol. So, Brett, what are we talking about today?
So, I brought a new affiliation to the Lone Star Open, and had a lot of fun with it. Nice. I think it's one of the factions that, or one of the affiliations that gained the most from the standard changeover. Mm-hmm. So, in the recent update, they removed a lot of cards by rotation, which I'm in general a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons. So, the one of the biggest ones to be removed was Medpack, right?
Yes.
The card
heal three
that,
for two.
Heal three for two. It's like it was one of the baseline cards. It was in almost every list. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, just a insanely good heal. It was way too good to pass up. It altered the course of games, all that stuff.
Yes.
So they wisely decided to remove it, but not before giving Shield a version of it.
Right.
Which was curious. And theirs is better.
So, real fast, I want to touch on this. This is a really interesting way to balance the game, because now you can give cards like that to specific affiliations, and it's a huge incentive to play them, right?
For example, Dune Prophecy.
For example, yes. Anyway, continue.
So, that was one reason I wanted to check out the affiliation. Another was that I had been playing Fury in every affiliation, because the grunt rule is just really, really strong. If you have priority with Fury on something with a lot of extracts, he really changes the outcome of the game, because not only can you get the center extract, which is very important and is like the whole advantage of going first, you can pick up a second one on the same activation, and since when the grunts die, they choose where the thing is dropped rather than your opponent, it is extremely difficult to steal that objective back on turn one. Usually right. The best they can do is have more activations than you and just kill the grunts last. So at least just falls on the floor.
Right. And that leads to a really strong scoring imbalance very quickly, which is important in Marvel Crisis Protocol.
Yes. Yeah, so also the amount of damage Nick Fury puts out is off the charts. So word of advice, if you ever have to play against S.H.I.E.L.D., killing the grunts is not option. So
and what you mean by that is you have to do it because otherwise you're going to lose?
So the way Fury works is as long as he is within range 3 of the grunts, they will get a reroll on their attack and defense. The defense one isn't super relevant. The attack one's very relevant. Yes. And whenever they deal or take damage, Fury gets power.
Which is ridiculously good. That's so much power generation.
So if the grunts are alive, they can make 2 4 die attacks with a single reroll. In my attack article, I do some math on that, and that is functionally equivalent to a 5 die attack. So they're basically making attacks like a 3-threat.
Right.
This is a free model. This is a model that comes back every time Fury wants to pay 2 power.
Right. Which he can afford to do because they generate it for him.
Yes. Then, during Fury's turn, he has a 3-cost spender that's range. The spender means it costs power and doesn't gain power. Mm-hmm. That is range 3, which is pretty good for melee attack. It's 7 dice, which is, again, not bad. And it allows the grunts to move and attack.
As part of it, right?
Yes. So you make the 7 die attack, then the grunts move and attack, which means you can refund 1 of the 3 power you spent. Mm-hmm. So if the grunts are alive, generally the way the Nick Fury's turn goes is grunts shoot twice, he does his lead from the front twice, and he makes 6 attacks that turn.
Just, you know, a small number.
Yeah. And the way Marvel dice work, making multiple attacks is much, much better than having more dice.
Right. Yeah.
Because there is no cap on the amount of damage. And so if you make a lot of attacks, you're hunting those spikes. So generally the way it goes is you're going to go like 0 damage, 1 damage, 0 damage, 0 damage, 4 damage. It's like, what the hell?
It's true. And the other thing about that is part of the reason that they're so swingy is because your opponent gets to make a defense roll. And so you can oftentimes, if you're just rerolling or rolling extra dice for your attack, your opponent can then choose to roll extra dice for their defense, and they're just as likely to spike as you are. Whereas if you're making a ton of attacks, they can't probably make resource, like they don't probably have the resources to add a bunch of dice to defense multiple times, and you're much more likely to sneak through one really good attack.
Yeah, or they're like, oh, it's a weak attack. I can afford not to spending defensive resources on it.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
So that's... is there anything else we need to talk about Fury? Because I think we should probably cover what else is in the affiliation and what you chose to take.
I still have a bunch of cards to cover.
Okay. Excellent.
So the joke I make when I'm playing Fury, or when I'm playing S.H.I.E.L.D., is that I get to play 5 restricted cards. So we already talked about MedPack. There's called Battlefield Medicine, mm-hmm. Which is MedPack can only be used by a shield person, but it also restores, or it also removes a special effect.
Very, very strong.
Which is good if you're like hexed or can't use crits or incinerated and lower your defense. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. They have Sitrep, which is a card called Tactical Analysis that got rotated out. Mm-hmm. Where you can move, the shield character can move another character during their activation. So the shield character's activation, you can move someone else. So
is that restricted to friendly only, or is it enemy as well?
It's friendly.
Okay. So sort of
yeah. And it's really good for like fixing someone who got pushed off a point, or, you know, mm-hmm. Moving someone into range to shoot twice, stuff like that.
Right.
You can take your 2 normal restricted cards like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And then, so the 5th one kind of varies. The 5th one is Eye in the Sky. If you have not played against Eye in the Sky, oh my god.
It's so good that it was almost the name of the podcast.
It was almost the name of the podcast. So Eye in the Sky is a version of Escort Safety or Trickster. So it's, Fury specifically spends 3 power. You pick a character, and that character advances short, and then if they're out of range or out of line of sight, the attack ends, and if they were the only target, and if it's during that person's activation, they get an action back. Mm-hmm. Notably, this is before you spend power. Yes. So if they declare a spender and you stop with it, they haven't spent their power yet.
That's very important.
Also notably, that is not how card attacks work.
Oh, really? That's funny.
So, like, if they do a, you know...
Oh, yeah, because they spend the power to get the attack, which they then get to make, right?
Yeah, and they can make the attack once this turn.
Yep.
And the attack is made even if it's canceled. So, gross. You know, don't play Helios against them.
Yep.
So... Escort to Safety is a fairly good card. It has some problems in that it has a range of 3, and it has you have to go towards the person escorting you.
Mm-hmm.
Eye in the Sky, not so much. It is rangeless. It mm-hmm. is directionless.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're playing in the shield affiliation, you get it back every round.
Yep. But notably, Nick can take this outside of shield affiliation, right? Which is one of the main reasons to bring him.
Not the main reason, but it is a perk for sure.
Okay.
And he can also use it on himself.
Yep.
Which is different. I believe he can also use it on grunts because it doesn't say target, but don't quote me on that.
Fair enough.
So that's the cards. Okay, so let's talk about and then we gotta talk about his leadership.
Yes, let's do that, because we haven't yet, and it's important.
Yep. So his leadership has 2 parts. If you are tied on points, or you're ahead on points. Every character has the Warpath card built in, which says, when you take damage from an enemy attack, you can spend 1 power and make a short advance towards that character.
It's a very strong, very, very strong ability, right? Like, that's a way to stay on points consistently. It's a way to, get threat range on other things that you really actually want to attack. It's very good.
Yes, the worst case scenario for his leadership is it shuts down the faction of Wakanda.
Seems so okay.
So Wakanda's all about attacks that push you off points, and he just... pays 1 power and ignores it.
Mm-hmm.
Very often they will reroll in order to not do damage against you.
Yeah, that's a thing for sure.
An extremely important use case for this is Venom, which is convenient because Venom, the symbiote Venom, was part of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So Venom says if he's damaged, he can spend 2 power and make an attack back.
Right.
One of his attacks heals him equal to the amount of damage done. So generally, you attack Venom, he attacks you back and heals for whatever you did damage to.
Yes.
So the way you deal with him is he's only range 3. So you attack him with like a range 5 attack, preferably written energy attack, and then he just dies. Not so in Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a range 5 attack, the short advance is enough to get them within range 3 and allow mm-hmm. you to attack back.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes from being hyper vulnerable to Rocket to Rocket Raccoon's probably going to die if he ever shoots Venom.
Right, and that's really important for
yes.
a lot of reasons.
Yeah, so essentially it turns Venom into a character who, like, never gets attacked. You just have a character that they're never going to attack.
Which is amazing, right?
Yeah, that's a good rule to have. You only have to pick the other, the rest of your list.
Yeah, and he's also got Lethal Protector, right? So you can force them to trigger this.
That's true. And I might start taking that later. I didn't actually make my cut. The other half of the leadership, though, and this is the one that's really intriguing, is if you're behind on points and one of your characters gets dazed or KO'd, including the grunts, who, again, it is not optional to kill them. Once per round when that happens, you score a point.
This is pretty nuts.
Yeah, it seems kind of innocuous at first glance. It's like, what, it's going to score you like a point or two? Big deal. Well, games are only 16 points, so...
Right.
It also... So one of the big weaknesses of playing attrition-focused lists is that they will get a couple of points behind, and then they will not be able to completely table their opponent, and they'll just be a couple of points behind the whole game and then lose on turn 6.
Right. And this is the kind of thing that is a stopgap to that, so that, like, there's a huge difference between I need to make up 4 victory points on turn 5 or 6, and I need to make up 2 or 3 victory points on turn 5 or 6. One of those is very, like, sometimes it's physically impossible. And mm-hmm. the other one is usually a thing you can do if you have to.
Especially because attritionalists will often have one turn where, like, everyone on the opponent's team gets dazed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that having that 2 or 3 extra points that you get from the leadership is really important if you want to try and play a kill all your opponents stuff.
Well, and it's kind of reminiscent in some ways of Thanos' leadership, and part of the reason that his leadership his death squad works is because you can sort of trade scoring parity because of his leadership, right? Now, it's not quite as good as that because you can't score it multiple times per round, but, like, the ability to even get a point or two and make the 3-point score deficit a 2-point score deficit or a 2-point score deficit a 1-point score deficit is just absolutely impossible to understate the difference that makes over the game and over an event.
And it's especially nasty if you can stay exactly 1 point behind.
Mm.
Because then someone gets dazed, you match their points, and then you get to use the other part of the leadership.
Right, which is real good.
Oh, one thing about Black Order. Mm. Just don't. don't bring the grunts back. Every time a grunt dies, Thanos gets a point.
Oh, yes. Yes, please, please bring them back against Black Order. Please.
Since your leader has grunts, you have to be really cautious of things that trigger on KO. Like Frenzy, or like Hood transforming, or like, especially the Thanos leadership.
Yeah. Okay. So,
then,
are we ready to talk about your list and what you brought?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's start with an unusual place for the Shield list.
Okay.
Let's start with Web Warriors list.
Okay.
So this is actually how the list started. I was playing Web Warriors after the update, mm-hmm. and I found out that because of the scenarios they pick and because of how they like to play, like which scenarios you like to play them on, mm-hmm. every single game I played with Web Warriors, it was Miles, Gwen, Black Cat, Dr. Voodoo, Nick Fury.
Okay.
Every single game. It was uncanny okay. how often I played that exact pair.
All right.
Or that exact list.
Okay. And so that means you can trim everything else and just have shield stuff for the rest of it then?
So then I was building my shield list. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I've got Fury. I've got Voodoo. Because I think he's, you know, just a really good scenario piece and a good attrition piece. Mm-hmm. I want Venom really badly. And I have a couple of slots left. And so I just... And you want to play really heavy extract-based. You want the extracts with a lot of stuff to get. Mm-hmm. Because that means that you can abuse the grunts more. If you haven't seen... So if you think it's bad when the grunts make 6 attacks normally, try and imagine that when they have 2 hammers.
Yikes. So that's, what, 6 attacks with a reroll? So effectively 7 dice attacks?
Yep.
So like a lot of characters spenders?
Yep.
Yep.
And they get to make it 4 times. they're very funny with Montesi formula, although I'm not actually taking it, because they get Nick Fury's reroll on the entire beam.
Right. Because it's once per attack, right? Not once per...
Correct.
Attack action. All right, cool. Yep.
Okay, so I'm already taking the 2 out of affiliation characters. I'm taking an in affiliation character, and I'm taking the perfect extracts for them. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if there's ever a time where the scenario is just way too live, so like, what Fury really wants is something like a Demon's Downtown or a Flip Secure. Something that scores pretty slowly and everyone wants to stand in the center for.
Right.
And then a really live extract so that he can abuse the grunts.
And Web Warriors kind of want the opposite, right?
Halfway.
Halfway.
They want the same extracts.
Mm-hmm.
And they want the you're right. They do want the opposite for secures.
Right, because they want to spread out. They want to push people off things. They want to...
They want to never have to fight.
Never, ever fight. Yep.
Yes. If you're making an attack roll, something's going... Well, you're going for the throw.
yeah.
Push. And so I feel like this dual affiliation is actually worth the sacrifices you make because they cover for when the scenario goes wrong. Mm-hmm. So if you end up in a, you know, live extract Demons Downtown... which is like half of what Web Warriors want, you mm-hmm. can play Shield.
Right.
If you end up in, you know, a super spread out secure that's also really live, you can play Web Warriors. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is their playground. Shield doesn't love it. It's just, it's a good way to cover the 2 things they do.
Yeah.
And essentially what you lose is like Angela, like you lose a couple of tech characters for Shield.
Right.
I was even able... the original version of the list, I lost out in Quicksilver, who I think is an extremely important Web Warrior. He made it in.
Nice. You want to go real fast, because we've talked around what's in the list. You want to just go through the 10 characters real fast?
Sure. Let's see if I can remember. So, the leader is... okay, so... It has Nick Fury, of course.
Yep.
It has, I believe, 3 other S.H.I.E.L.D. characters. So the first one is Bucky, Winter Soldier. He is a S.H.I.E.L.D. character. He is extremely strong. He's so hot right now.
This is freaking hilarious to me because when I was like playing a lot before the update, he was hot garbage.
Yes. Yeah, the rapid fire rule is strong. Strong. Yeah.
Yep.
And on a range 5 attack and less.
Yeah.
As one of my friends likes to say, the fact that Got Your Back costs 3 now is not the reason he's bad. It's the reason he's not incredibly overpowered. He's merely strong.
He's very really, strong. Real good.
Very, very strong.
Okay.
He again, he's a shield character, so you don't have to worry about... So he can spend all the cards. He is in almost every attrition roster anyways, because he's very good.
Right.
And break glass in case of emergency, he can play... He can fill out my Web Warriors affiliation.
Sure. Because he's got an unaffiliated rogue agent thing, though, right?
Yep. He's a rogue agent.
Nice.
Then I also took Iron Man. Iron Man also got buffed at the same time as Bucky. Mm-hmm. He is just an extremely pop. He's just a very solid character.
He's a real durable three threat, right? You can stick him on a point, and it's not trivial to get rid of him.
Yes. And between the two of them, I really like B-Secures. So I haven't read this article yet, but I really want to. B-Secures, you really want range 4 and range 5 attacks because you can stand on one of the points and attack the one on your opponent's side of the table.
Right.
And Iron Man is even better for that because his range 4 attack will also push sometimes. So yeah, he's durable, he stands on a point, he's really good at flipping the mutant madman. And he can push your opponents off the other one so that other people can go score it. Extremely good character, like an absolute gift in Shield. I also took Black Widow 1. Code is definitely a better 2 threat.
But he can't play the cards, but, right?
More importantly, he is not affiliated in general, so if you're at a weird point total... So basically, with Black Widow, you can play a 9-point core, meaning you can take the three shield characters at 9 points and then have, you know, like Voodoo and Venom as your other two characters.
Right.
And so you can have them both be unaffiliated and still get all the leadership and stuff. So I think that versatility is worthwhile compared to what you're giving up in Toad being slightly better.
Right.
And also, I played against Wizard Convocation twice, and she has four Mystic Defense for some reason.
Which is very good. So just recapping real fast for our listeners, you took Nick Fury, you took Bucky, you took Iron Man, you took Black Widow. That's your shield like quadrant of your list, right?
Yeah, that's what we refer to as a core. It's the three or four characters that you're going to play when you're playing that affiliation. The unaffiliated characters, so I talked about Venom a bunch. I took Voodoo. Again, if you're somewhere in between attrition and scenario, he is just an excellent piece. He throws, he knocks. Well, so like there's some lists where they're like gonna plop someone on a point and just be like you can't kill him, and he's just kind of the only option in the game to deal with stuff like that.
Yeah, because he's just like it doesn't matter if I can't kill you, you're not contesting this.
Right. He works great in both affiliations because you can use his possession as a steal, meaning that Miles, Panther, him, and possibly Quicksilver can all steal extracts from your opponent.
Nice.
yeah, he's just an incredible character. I did cram in Quicksilver. He got the nod over Hawkeye. Hawkeye is a shield character, which is nice, but he's just a little bit outclassed at this point.
Yeah, he does feel like, compared to Bucky with Rapid Fire, like the status effects are really good, but Shield doesn't do anything with them, right? Like, if you were really reliant on them...
They're just too unreliable.
Right.
So, Hawkeye's problem is that he is extremely inconsistent. He has a 5 die, range 5 attack, which is awesome. No argument here. But he doesn't have any dice to fix that. He doesn't... All he does is ignore cover. And he doesn't make a lot of attacks. He just makes those two, like the two on his turn.
Yep.
Because quick draw is very rare to come up. His defense is also very poor. So he just got the cut. I also feel kind of the same way about War Machine. Like, he's just kind of slightly outclassed by the way the game is now.
Yeah.
So I did manage to fit in Quicksilver. I like Quicksilver because on Flip Secures, he can kind of do the entire scenario by himself.
He is so, pretty wild there, isn't he?
Yeah. So especially if there's no extract for him to hold, he can just, like if he has, like, 4 power, you can go flip one, long move, pay two power to long move again, mm-hmm. flip another one, long right. move again. Like,
yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah, he will very often just, yeah, like run the entire flip secure by himself. He also has a steal with his card. Can I borrow that? Mm-hmm. If you get him a bunch of hammers, he is extremely funny.
He is.
There is no upper limit on the amount of damage he can do.
Yeah, he can go infinite, right? Like, if you roll the required things enough times in a row, he just kills everything yes. around him?
Yeah, so on his primary attack, which is only four die, if you get a hit and a wild on the four dice, you can make an attack against someone else in range. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's like a 25% chance.
It's around there, yeah, on four.
For four dice. Yeah, it only becomes more likely if you he has two hammers and you're up to six dice.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so that can make him very, very funny. He's also just a pretty resilient character, just generally good.
Mm-hmm.
I have the three Web Warrior characters I've already talked about.
Miles, Gwen, and Black Cat.
Black Cat, yep. The person that protects them and hangs back and pushes people away. The person who steals stuff and staggers people. And Miles is just incredible. He does everything.
Yeah.
He can actually do damage. He can steal. He can move around the whole board. He's stealth. He's got a lot of best rules.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that my whole roster?
I think it is. Three core shields, four yep. core shields, four web warriors, including Venom. And then you've got Dr. Voodoo,
and Quicksilver.
And Quicksilver. Yep. Well, Quicksilver is also a web warrior, so yes.
Nice. Quicksilver is technically not a web warrior. He has all of the characteristics of a web
warrior.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, like, that. Realistically, since they don't, like, all webbed up is a card you're probably not playing anyway.
It is currently in my roster.
It is currently, okay.
It's on current.
All right, so he doesn't get that, but I could see you.
Neither does anyone else in my list.
That's fair.
So if you want to play all webbed up, I think you have to play Moon Knight.
Mm.
Because you trade out one of your scenario focus three threats for an attacking focus three threat, probably Black Cat.
Right.
And then you get three characters who are making two attacks pretty often, and benefit from all webbed up, and he has enough power to play it. Unlike all the rest of the Web Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I would argue it was a mistake to take all webbed up. I probably should have done Spider Tracker in its place.
Yeah. Yeah, my initial inclination was like, oh yeah, of course you don't have all webbed up. Why would you have all webbed up then?
Yeah, it's one of those where you just take it out of instinct.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing the webbed up affiliation. Why aren't you playing webbed? Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And I have Venom.
And you have Venom. Perfect.
Yeah. So...
Okay.
That wasn't fully cooked. We talked about five restricted cards.
Mm-hmm.
I also have Mission Objective. I think most rosters should run Mission Objective. Certainly the rosters who are playing the extract heavy, like the ones with a lot of extracts, which certainly.
Yeah.
I also took Recalibration Matrix. This card is being very heavily slept on right now. So I talked about how the main way... Well, okay, I didn't actually say this, but the main thing that's happening right now in the meta is mm-hmm. people are taking a lot of rapid-fire attacks, a lot of like things like Fury, just making a ton of attacks and going for that one spike.
Right.
So... Recalibration Matrix, just by taking it, undoes that whole plan. Because, you know, you take your zero damage, you take your zero damage, you take your one damage, you're about to take six damage, you're like, no, let's see if you can do that again. And right. because it's a spike, they can't.
Right. It's funny because I've been playing, like, a lot of Dormammu, and I also play Recalibration Matrix, but it's mostly so that Dormammu never whiffs.
Well, Recalibration Matrix, it should be considered a Dark Dimension affiliated card.
Oh yeah,
Because you don't reroll the skulls, and they still count, like your opponents still count.
Yep.
So
it's wonderful.
Like if they roll like three skulls on their defense, it's like, well, time to die.
Indeed.
Yes. I took Helios Laser. This card very seriously betrayed in the tournament, but I think it's still worth taking. So the reason it's worth taking, when usually I don't recommend it, is that most of the characters in the affiliation, in the shield affiliation, that is, kind of end up with way too much power.
That makes sense.
So, like, Iron Man generally gets, like, 4 to 5 power. Voodoo gets up to, like, 10.
Yeah, Voodoo does it on accident.
Yeah. Bucky, once he spikes, he's at, you know, like, 6 or 7. Fury, if he has a couple of good turns, gets up to 10. Like, you just... every character in your roster is just, like, I accidentally end up with way too much power.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Iron Man then gets to channel that into an attack that just picks a character off the table and, in theory, removes it.
Mm-hmm. In theory. Very important.
Yeah.
Because it will not always do that, because Marvel Dice are Marvel Dice.
Yes. I won that game. I should complain. It's not going to, like, I'm not trying to, like, one-shot a Hulk. I'm trying to just use one action to take out a 5 health character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which you can do pretty reliably.
Yes. And you can leave yourself some power to, like, do a scenario afterwards and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 2, 7. I said I had all webbed up. Mm-hmm. Can I borrow that?
Right. Because, yep.
Recalibration matrix. I think that's all 10.
That is 10.
Yeah.
So... we are running slightly long on time. I'm going to fire some questions at you, and I'm curious what your response is. So,
okay.
Just to recap, Shield is really, really good at slow secures, fast extracts.
Yep.
And because of that, you want to pair them with something that's really good at fast secures, and the extracts are kind of nebulous. My question there is, what happens if you have a fast secure and a slow extract, like something like Alien Ship and like Spider Portals?
So that is the worst case scenario for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would play Shield in that situation. If your opponent is bringing Alien Ship, well, mm-hmm. Okay. First off, you can't have both of those because you won't
be taking one of them. But yeah, like, yeah. Worst case scenario, I'm just like saying, like, somehow you end up in this weird situation.
Yeah, the worst case scenario is like Demons Downtown and Alien Ship.
Sure.
So I would take Shield in that situation. If your opponent is taking Alien Ship, mm-hmm. it's because they want to brawl.
Yes.
And they want to fight. And Shield has an advantage there in that they can brawl with the best of them, and they also have some scenario presence from Grunts.
Right.
Also, Eye in the Sky really messes with their plans.
I was going to say, Eye in the Sky in a brawl seems really hard to deal with for a lot of affiliations.
Yep. Okay. I didn't mention this, but my I think the funniest thing about the Shield affiliation is mm-hmm. that Nick Fury is worse as a Shield leader because he is much, much better.
Because you don't want to lose him?
Yeah, so when I play him in Brotherhood, mm-hmm. I just throw him up the table. He ends up with 10 power, and he's like, all right, whatever. Summon Grunts, leap from the front. In the Shield affiliation, I'm like, all right, he advances forward, he grabs it, and then he goes back to my deployment zone. Oh my god, I can't let him die.
Right. That's funny.
So it's a very careful balance of trying to get enough power to be able to Eye in the Sky while not getting him killed.
Makes sense. Okay. Second question, then. What is the most slept on part of Shield as an affiliation, because not a ton of people seem to be playing it at the moment?
So there is a recent change that made them much more powerful relatively, so I think mm-hmm. that's why they're being slept on. Okay. Is that, like, just by having access to med pack and stuff that other people don't, I think that's a big deal. I also think Fury is being vastly underrated. If you haven't played against Grunts, especially his Grunts are by far the best. grunts twist how the game works in a really uncomfortable way. They like, because they're free attacks, because they're health that keeps coming back, they really change the math on how much damage you need to table your opponent, and especially Fury's grunts will occasionally just kill a character. I also think Eye in the Sky, if you're not playing Fury, you don't understand how dumb Eye in the Sky is. Like, you're like, oh, it's just Escort Safety. I know what Escort Safety does. No. It's so much worse than that.
It is one of those things where, you know, once per game you can mitigate pretty well, but every turn it starts to get really difficult, I think.
Yes. Yeah, it's like... like, I would take it if it just read counter-target Helios Laser. Like,
right.
And it does that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except that if you're playing in Shield, you can also wait until Iron Man activates and then use it normally, too.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Then I think my final question is, if you were going to pair Shield with a different affiliation than Web Warriors, what would it be and why?
So my meta is currently trying three different versions of that.
Okay.
One of them is trying Defenders, of all things.
Interesting.
So the thought there is, the Shield affiliation is all physical attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Defender affiliation is decidedly not.
Yeah, it's whatever you want.
Yes. And while you can't put out the portals on turn one and do, like, you know, turn one shooting and deployment zone shenanigans, you can use the portals to bridge between, like, two Bs. Mm-hmm. And you can basically have Winter Soldier on both of them simultaneously.
Seems good.
Yeah, you have Strange, who's just an incredible character, right? He pushes, he heals, he slices, he dices.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Scarlet Witch and Winter Soldier just popping through the portal and with range 5 attacks. I guess she has range 4.
Yeah, she's a 4.
And long range attacks just, like, wherever you want.
Gross.
Yeah. So that's where they play. They want exactly the same secures. They want B secures. That's a nice thing there.
Nice.
The other one that they're trying is Spider Foes. Like Web Warriors, Spider Foes is another affiliation that wants, you know, 5 extracts out on the table so that they can do well-laid plans and make you drop them all.
Yes.
They both want Venom, so there's some nice synergy.
Mm-hmm.
The Spider Folks just do a lot of damage. They do a lot of throws. They do a lot of, like, out of combat damage.
Right.
So they're also good for that.
Nice. Okay.
I would like to say that I think Shield is pretty unique in that it's able to dual affiliate.
Okay.
Its core is so strong that you don't really need flex characters. Mm. Like, you don't need characters that you take 1 in 10 games.
Right.
And, like, they take the sign... when you have 4 restricted cards, you're going to take them every game. Yep. So they pretty much always take the same cards, so they don't need a huge pool of cards in their roster either.
That makes sense. Interesting. Okay. Well, if you've tried out Shield, please let us know what you've thought of them. What have you been successful with? What has been giving you trouble? And if you want to do that, the best place to do that is in our Discord, which you can find a link for in the show notes to this podcast. Also, if you want to support this podcast, which helps us both make these episodes and also allows us to pay people to write about Marvel Crisis Protocol, you can find that at patreon.com/LOSWarMachine. We super duper appreciate it. And our current patrons are fantastic and we love you so much. One of the things that you should do if you're in our Discord and you're a patron is make sure that those two things are linked so that you can get your fancy sweet green to purple, there's a bunch of different colors, name in that Discord and also get access to the patrons only channel. I'm not going to actually give out our email address because it's about to change, so I don't know what it is yet.
Are they still doing episodes a week early?
Yes, they still get patrons get episodes a week early. So you'll get to hear everything before everybody else does, which is also very cool. You'll also get to vote on topics for podcasts, and if you're at a high enough level of the patron, you will be able to either straight up tell us what to talk about or suggest topics for everybody else to vote on. So there's a lot of cool things. You can check that out at the Patreon. It's patreon.com/LOSWarMachine. You can find us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Line of Sight. You can follow us there, see what we're doing. We're posting stuff there all the time. You can join our Discord, as I already mentioned, and we'll have an email address set up by the time episode 2 goes live that is not the old one. So you can also reach us there. If you're interested in submitting an article to our website, which, by the way, is lineofsightwargaming.com, you can click on the Submit an Article tab. There's a bunch of guidelines and a place to do that, and we'll review that, and we'll get back to you, and hopefully we'll get that up on the website pretty quick. Yeah, I think that's everything. So, thanks everybody so much for listening to episode 1 of
Doomed Prophecy.
I'm going to do that every time.
I know you are.
I know. and we will see you next week. Bye.